1, 2, 3, go! Okay.
Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Before we get started, I wanted to note that this podcast includes sensitive information on sexual assault in an athletic community. Over the past week, we've had 3 posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we introduced a position statement from the Canadian Center for Mental Health and Sport on principles of mental health in competitive and health performance sport. In our second post, we highlighted the International Olympic Committee's consensus statement on mental health in elite athletes. Finally, in the third post, we summarized a study where the authors found that 9 in 10 alcohol-involved sexual assaults on college campuses are committed by serial perpetrators. Men in fraternities and athletics are more likely to commit this crime than other college-aged men. If we take a closer look at this last post, we find that the authors aim to use data from the CORE Alcohol and Other Drugs Survey, which captured data from 49 community and four-year colleges in a Midwestern state to address 5 questions related to alcohol-involved sexual assault by college men, especially those participating in fraternities or sport. Over 2,600 male collegiate students completed the survey at least once out of 5 times over 10 years. Overall, 1 in 20 college men committed alcohol-involved sexual assault. Among those who assaulted someone, 57% of men reported multiple offenses. Overall, 87% of alcohol-related sexual assaults were committed by serial offenders, who committed an average of at least 5 assaults. Finally, the authors found that men in fraternities or athletics were more likely than their peers to commit alcohol-involved sexual assault. Overall, this study should remind sports medicine clinicians that there is a systemic problem on our college campuses and that we should be diligent in following up on potential incidences that are discussed in the sports medicine clinic. 1 in 4 women will experience sexual violence in her lifetime. The authors noted that other studies have supported their findings that men in fraternities or athletics are more likely to commit alcohol-involved sexual assault. Fraternity members are over 3 times more likely to commit sexual assault than their peers, and male athletes are 77% more likely. Hypermasculinity and rape myth acceptance are common in both groups of college-age men. Furthermore, alcohol lowers inhibitions, lowers defenses, and alters the ability to give or withhold consent. The combination of alcohol and male-dominated social settings, such as fraternity parties, increase the chances that sexual violence will occur. We need to be more attentive to potential incidences of sexual assault because serial sexual assaulters account for nearly 9 out of every 10 alcohol-involved sexual assaults. Hence, in the unfortunate event that we treat a female who has been sexually assaulted, most likely her assailant has raped previously and will do so again. It is important to recognize that while this study should raise awareness about these issues, there were some limitations. For example, the data is from only 1 state, which may limit how we apply these findings to other states, and was reliant on men self-reporting the assault behavior, which may mean the authors are underestimating the number of alcohol-involved sexual assaults. Furthermore, the study focused on violent behaviors of men towards women, but does not address sexual violence on the same sex. It would be helpful to know if the findings about male student athletes are also applicable in high school age students. For clinicians in sports medicine who work with female athletes, these findings are extremely concerning. Clinicians should work with administrators to educate both men and women on safety, prevention, and reporting of sexual assaults, particularly since fully abstaining from alcohol is an unrealistic expectation of college-aged students. Furthermore, if a discussion about a possible sexual assault is heard in the sports medicine clinic, it is critical to help that person report the event through the proper channels because we need to be more proactive in identifying and stopping the offender, who is likely a repeat offender. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was a research article where the authors concluded, based on a meta-analysis of randomized clinical trials, that shockwave therapy may be a superior alternative for the treatment of lateral epicondylitis. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 7 online evidence-based practice courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to our summaries and the courses and the article on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.